You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
What's up and welcome into the Fantasy Football Frenzy right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Football 365 24/7, and we're here to keep you up to date on all the latest news and information as we get you ready for the 2017 season. Franchise tags are flying, NFL Combine right around the corner, NFL draft coming up, free agency, a lot of stuff going on. Not alone, not by myself today. Got a good buddy of mine to help me break down all the news and information that's going on. And I remember when they first was like, hey, we want to do an off-season football show, you know what I'm saying? Fantasy exec, think about, you know, hosting it, whatever the case may be. I started thinking to myself, you know who I would most want to do this with? It would be the gentleman I have with me today. Mike Blewett. Mike, I wish we could do this every week. You know what I'm saying? I understand your work schedule and stuff like that, but definitely a pleasure. I saw you last week. Definitely was going to ask you about it, but definitely a pleasure to have you on board as this is shaping up to be a pretty interesting week in the NFL.
No, I appreciate it, Corey. Likewise, and I beat you to the punch. I saw you, and I said, we got to do a fantasy football frenzy show together. I think what the NFL has tried to do really over these last few years is make sure that their schedule, their league schedule, is a 12-month-a-year schedule, right? They extended the draft out until late April into May. We have the league year, which is basically starting in the next 10 days. We have the combine, which started today.
Yep.
So we have events each and every month. I think there was a little two-week window there where we're really kind of forcing the news.
Yeah.
But the news is real today that league year is rolling over. And as you said, the franchise tags are flying. Money is being doled out, and we're starting to see the moving pieces for the 2017 season.
No doubt. And a lot of rumors going around also. We'll get into a bit of that also in the program today. Our buddy Jeff Stein from My Fantasy League will be joining the program. Now, Jeff Stein runs My Fantasy League. Majority of you, most of you, one of your preparation tools has been the MFL 10s. You may have logged on this week to get ready to start and notice that your state has not allowed you to play. We'll be talking that with my guy Jeff Stein from My Fantasy League. So, and of course, like I said, Mike, we got so thanks for the Munchkins too, bro. The Munchkins, no problem, solid. You know what I mean? Good way to come through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta listen when you're invited on a guest as a show. You gotta bring something and show the love.
No doubt. You go to somebody's crib, you bring a bottle of wine. Right. You know, a bottle of liquor. You know,
that's depending on who I can do that next time.
Depending on who crib it is,
it'd be a different kind of show.
Now, let me ask you a question: when you go to somebody's house and you take a bottle, at the end of the night, you will leave the bottle guy or take the bottle with you?
You got to leave the bottle.
Yeah, I'm going to leave the bottle guy. But you do have some people out there just like, okay, it's corner 11.
If it's something that good, you got to take it with you. Don't bring it in the first
exactly,
place.
You know what I mean?
Get them a $20 house. Bottle of wine. Call it a day.
There you go right there. You know what I'm saying? Don't take them six Coronas with you. We'll be all right, and you'll be all right also. You know what I'm saying? So, getting ready to talk about some of these rumors and some of the latest news going on in this season. First, let me ask you, I guess this is what I kind of been asking everybody the past month, everybody that's been on the program, kind of started off. What the hell happened to the Atlanta Falcons?
So, I will first say that I was deeply invested in the Falcons for one reason. It's not because I hate the Pats and that I'm a Steelers fan and that, you know, they got rolled. It is good enough reason, but you know, the Pats earned that win. They rolled over the Steelers. Steelers fault for not prepping the proper way. And I wasn't rooting against the Pats for any particular reason. I went to school in Boston. Mm-hmm. I know tons of Patriots fans, and trust me, I get my fair share of trash talk to me, around me, and I'm sort of fed up with it. But my real investment was Matt Ryan and I went to the same college. So I was a season ticket holder for BC when he was there, and I'm a little bit older than him. But reality is, I was all in for Matt Ryan, and I was excited for him to take the next step. So when it's 28-3, I'm like, I can't believe it. He's going to do it. Now, I will say this, and this is not hindsight is 2020. One criticism I've always had of Matt Ryan, and I've said it many times on Roto Experts in the Morning, which I host with George Kurtz on Saturdays and Sundays, Matt Ryan is known for killer turnovers at the end of games. It happened in the San Francisco championship game a few years ago. We saw it rear its ugly head again. I think the turnover, the fumble, isn't particularly his fault. It's That's Freeman's fault. Dante Hightower makes a good play. Freeman makes a really bad play. It's the sack. The Hightower play is what changed the momentum of the game. But honestly, after he completes that pass to Julio Jones, the game is over. All he did is kick
the field goal, and the game is over right there.
There's a host of momentum-type items that happened, plays that happened during that game, which killed the Falcons. Their defense was obviously exhausted. Mm-hmm. You stop one two-point conversion, and things are going to be different. They just couldn't make the one play they needed to. You know, the one thing I will say, Brady earned victory. I give him credit. I don't think he should have won the MVP. I thought that should have gone to James White.
I agree.
But the crazy thing is, at the end of that game, and we know now the touchdown that ends it that James White has, the play before that, Brady throws a terrible pass that Vic Beasley could have picked off. And I don't think anybody's ever going to remember that. People will remember that he won another MVP and he's a five-time Super Bowl champ. And to the victors go the spoils. But there was a couple of plays that he made. The deflection that Welker ends up catching and the second-to-last play of the game where he tried to drop it over the defense and into Martellus Bennett's hands. I think people will forget how bad a play that was. And Brady could have actually turned the Super Bowl in the other direction if Beasley hangs on to that interception.
And then, of course, he would have been a donkey. But you talk about Tom Brady, and he's an elite NFL quarterback, but a few more years to go in his career. But one of the things that we're talking about a lot this offseason, find myself, ourselves, the people in the industry, consistently talking about is what's going on, what's going to happen with these quarterbacks. Every week is new rumors, it's new information, it's new things coming out with these quarterbacks. And today, the rumors are starting to fly once again. Kirk Cousins slapped with the franchise tag by Washington. Now, earlier reports say that franchise tag him still could be a situation where Washington could swing that deal, work a trade, send Cousins out to San Francisco, where he reportedly wants to go reunite with Kyle Shanahan. Now we're hearing that Washington has no plans on trading Cousins. They're going to franchise him again, hopefully to look to get a deal done, but Cousins will go into the 2017 season as the quarterback in Washington. Two dueling reports, George. Mike. What do you think?
I would say that it's going to be status quo. I think that tag gets slapped today, and we stay that way through the end of the year. Washington gets another long look at him. You know, it's amazing that they haven't been able to make that decision, but they get another long look at him. Cousins softens the blow with another $20 million plus contract. And if he stays healthy, and I said this to you before we get on air, if he stays healthy, Kirk Cousins is going to look at another $60 million guaranteed with the deal that he gets from whomever it might be. Mm-hmm. It won't be another tag situation in Washington next year. That would be a prohibitive $35 million salary. But I think it's going to stay as is. I don't think a deal gets made. The price is really steep for those franchise tagged players. Yes. And I don't think San Francisco is in a position, or anybody really is in a position, to do something like that, especially with a guy who, I think there's a lot of teams that would be happy to have him, but there's a few teams that wouldn't trade all that much for him because they're probably in the same boat as Washington, trying to get another look at him for another season. Can he come through in the clutch? Obviously, that Giants game at the end of the year is going to be hanging over Cousins' head until he does win a game that puts them into the playoffs or, frankly, wins them a playoff game.
And really, three out of the last four games, with three all against non-playoff opponents, two of those games being at home, he's not able to get the job done and get them in. Now, you look at the situation he's possibly going into in Washington, unlikely Pierre Garçon returns, unlikely that DeSean Jackson returns. I'm a Jameson Crowder guy. You know what I'm saying? It's really not a situation where he's not going to be on my team unless you just get to him on draft day before me. He's never going to be on the waiver wire in one of my leagues. That's how it's been in the past. He's a draftable player this year, but I'll probably go early on him. I think he has an Antonio Brown-type skill set.
Yeah, I think we're looking at guys right now. There's going to be a ton of moving parts here in the next 2 weeks, but he could be a guy that you see his value from a percentage standpoint of his value from 2016 to 2017 jumps more than anybody just by the way in which the free agents have moved around.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. He's going to be a big riser. Also, we haven't seen the kid Doxson.
Yeah.
Thought he was going to get on the field this year. People were drafting him ahead of Crowder, to no avail. That didn't happen. And do they bring somebody else in there? Is Jordan Reed and the tandem they got right now enough? What do you see shaking out? If you look into your crystal ball, Washington is going to need some help offensively, wrapping up all of this money in the Cousins, but he's going to need to move the football.
Plus, we've also seen them struggle to run block, yep. right? They've done a pretty good job pass blocking up front, but they have not done a good job at all run blocking. Didn't really matter who was carrying the ball. They had struggles in trying to run it. They ended up having a very high percentage of passing plays. But ultimately, do they need to add to Doxson and Crowder and Reed? Yeah, but I wouldn't expect any kind of a splash at all. I think it could be a veteran that they bring in order to help shore that up. But I think they're going to roll out with Jordan Reed being your number one option there. And then trying to figure out what to do after that. Crowder has proved himself to be a good player, right?
Yeah, I agree.
You said you're all in, and I think I would be in too because they do pass the ball quite a bit. My concern, obviously, is that with some of the money they've moved around, I think in some ways it may be undersells how important Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson were to the team.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
100% on
especially
that.
Garçon. I think there is people are aware of DeSean Jackson's explosive ability.
Yes.
In fantasy circles, he's a hard guy. He's a hard guy to own. I don't like really having guys that are so many peaks and valleys. You know, if I'm going to go with a guy that has peaks and valleys, I'd rather go with a guy with more upside, like a T.Y. Hilton.
Yep.
He has some dud games too, but you know, more often than not, he's going to come through. So I think the Garçon loss is bigger than people will realize.
I agree with you on that one. Now, one of the moving pieces this year, it looks like Alshon Jeffrey will not be with Chicago. He is not tagged. More or less, he's going to get a chance to test the market. The teams that are said to be in line looking for help at the wide receiver position are Philadelphia, who they need one desperately. Tampa and Jacksonville have a ton of money. Obviously, Washington, we just mentioned, and the LA Rams. Tennessee Titans in the mix also. I look at teams like Tampa and Tennessee, more so Tennessee, as a team that needs a game-changing number one wide receiver to really help out Marcus Mariota. Obviously, running the football is the core of what they want to do. But I think there is room for Mariota and a receiver like Jeffrey to come in here. And, you know, it's all speculatory, Mike, but, you know, when you look at these teams, money-wise, what do you think is the best fit for, like, an Alshon Jeffrey?
I keep looking towards Tampa as being the team that is going to sign one of these guys. I don't know that they'll want it to be Jeffrey because, look, he has a little bit of a reputation, one of which is that he can't stay healthy. Two is that maybe he's not the biggest effort guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any of this is fair. I'm just saying what's out there in the ether of discussions that we have about this particular player. Now, do you want to bring a guy like that in with a young quarterback and a superstar young wide receiver? I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd rather address it with somebody like Pierre Garçon, frankly, because Vincent Jackson's retiring. Pierre Garçon could be a similar role there, right? And a very reliable veteran receiver. Now, he's going to be looking for pretty good money, but he's not looking for Alshon Jeffrey money. So,
and that's the difference right
if
there.
If we're playing musical chairs, maybe I bring somebody in like Garçon instead of Jeffrey. Who's going to take the leap on Alshon Jeffrey? I'm not sure. If he exceeds Antonio Brown's contract, which we just saw, that would surprise me a bit, but that's what some of the people are rumored to be saying, that just because of the timing, he could see the biggest contract in NFL history for an NFL wide receiver.
That would be crazy, because he's not a player on the level of Antonio Brown. Also had a couple of big cuts take place this week. Well, not so much cuts. Well, you had a cut in Jamal Charles. It doesn't look like Adrian Peterson will be going back with Minnesota. They take the option, or they're going to restructure the deal. We don't know. Peterson and Charles, dudes that we've won championships with. Like, just Jamal Charles is one of my favorite fantasy assets to own of all time.
Me too.
Some of my best teams have had Jamal Charles
on
them.
He was a guy that I drafted 5 years ago in a dynasty league. I won that dynasty league twice.
There
because
right
of Jamal
there.
Charles.
Jamal Charles, when he's on the field, Andy Reid, that system, the offense run through him, dynamic, under two torn ACLs, start to see the downside of his career now. Charles and Peterson, are they fantasy assets in 2017, or do you see both guys, Mike, as a part of a running back by committee?
As much as I like Jamal Charles, I think Peterson's got to be valued much more heavily than Jamal Charles. We haven't seen Jamal play much at all.
Yeah.
I mean, Adrian Peterson's only got 20 games in the last three seasons, right? So he's not exactly racking up starts. But at the same time, not all of it was due to injury. We know why. He had off-field issues, off-field questions regarding his status. He's 32 years old, Adrian Peterson is, right? we have a very, very limited number of players that have produced at that position at that age. But we also know him to be a little bit freakish insofar as his physical condition is concerned. Mm-hmm. I do think he could find a landing spot and be relevant. You know, people are always talking about Dallas because he's from there. He always wanted to play for the Cowboys. I think that's a little bit of a fool's errand that that's going to happen.
Yeah,
but I think he could. I think he'll land somewhere and could be fantasy relevant. You know, if we're just looking at drafts now, he's going to get drafted way higher than Jamal Charles. We just don't know where Jamal Charles is going to be and what kind of shape he's in. I mean, the Chiefs were a really good team. He was very motivated to come back, and he really couldn't do it. He really couldn't get it done. I don't blame him at all.
It was Andy Reid. It was like, you know, it'd be next week. It'd be next week. He'll be out here next week. And it just
the guy would have played if he could have.
Because it's not like Spence Wynn and what's the other dude name? The other stiff name? Kendrick West. Yeah, it's not like these two dudes. Yeah, exactly. Well, they were forgettable, especially mm-hmm. Wynn's performance down the stretch as we got to the second half of the season. It's not like these guys were burning it up. They were pedestrian fantasy. See guys, you know what I'm saying? For the Kansas City Chiefs, you know what they want to do. Charles couldn't get out there, and I agree. I think we've seen the best, and if anything, a complimentary piece, maybe a guy that just hangs on in the league from now on.
Yeah, he could be something like we've seen from some other veteran players, you know, who knows? Like we've seen Rashad Jennings have a role with the Giants. Obviously, he's been cut, but I'm just saying veteran players that move over into different roles in backfields. Matt Forte, really one of the only guys that's aging and has a lot of miles that still really had the primary role with the Jets this season. And who's to say that that will even happen in 2017?
Yep, even LaDainian Tomlinson from a couple years
ago. That's right, that's a better example.
When he came out to New York also, he was able to get in gear and still had to put together a couple of decent season for the team and for fantasy owners. Want to play a little quarterback matchmaker when we return, plus MFL 10, my fantasy lot, my fantasy league's guy, Jeff Stein, joins us on the Fantasy Football Frenzy, rocking with my good buddy Mike Blewett, talking football. It's a wonderful time. Plus, it's, you know, approaching the 70s out here in Midtown Manhattan. Good times when we continue right here on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. Up and at him, the Fantasy Football Frenzy. Fantasy executive Corey Parson rocking along with my guy Mike Blewett. Talking fantasy football, and it's like March 1st. That's pretty cool. Combine, NFL free agency, a lot of things going on. 365, 24/7. We bring the hobby to you right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike, one of last season's top waiver wire additions is going to test free agency. That is my guy, a man I went to early and often and until the wheels fell off. My guy, Jack Doyle. My man, Jack Doyle, looking to test the free agent market. Want to see what's out there outside of Indianapolis. Jack Doyle was, you know what? He gave you some weeks this past season where, you know, I was like, I'm glad I got Jack Doyle on my team.
So my strategy going into last year was basically, it was kind of a two-pronged approach. It was either I was going to get Greg Olsen at a price I was comfortable with, or I was going to wait all day. So I drafted guys like Julius Thomas. I drafted a couple of other guys that didn't really get the job done. I didn't have any shares of Kelce, really, but that was my goal, just to really wait as long as possible. I'll even, you know, I tried to go after Zach Ertz if I could get him a little bit later.
Yeah.
But when I realized early that it wasn't going to work out, I went after Jack Doyle in almost every league.
That's it right there.
And, you know, when you, by the end of the year, one, two, three, I'm just looking through it, he's a top 13, 14 guy.
A high-end tight end, too.
Now, the position's a mess.
It's a disaster.
People talk
position.
About how disappointing Kobe Fleener was, and I agree, but he wasn't really that much worse than the other bag of tricks that you had got from about five other players around him. Paid a little bit too
you
high.
You had the numbers in front of you in the PPR league. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't this Rudolph fraud a top five tight end this season?
Absolutely. I'll get you right now. In a full point PPR league, it was Kelce in this league that I'm in, which actually has yardage bonuses as well. It was Travis Kelce, and Kyle Rudolph was number two.
Yeah.
So that was one with some yardage bonuses. But in standard leagues, ESPN standard, Kelce one, Olsen two, Rudolph three. And there was one point separating Olsen and Rudolph. So, you know, Kyle Rudolph did play better down the stretch insofar as having enough catches, but that Minnesota offense was terrible to watch.
Yep.
The average, Sam Bradford broke a record for completion percentage in an NFL season, throwing 4 yards downfield every time.
Exactly.
It was terrible football to watch.
Mm-mm. Very inept offensively. You know what? That's an interesting thing. We'll be talking about that as we move along through the course of the offseason. Also, want to keep up and see what the situation is with Teddy Bridgewater, because a lot of the reports are saying he may even sit out this season. So that's a pretty ugly injury for that young man.
I don't expect to see Teddy Bridgewater this year. I wouldn't expect to see him now at all. If we saw him, it would be if Bradford got hurt late and or they're just done with Bradford playing poorly. But, I mean, if Bradford's going to complete 72% of his passes, throwing the ball 4 yards down the field, and they're comfortable with that, how are you going to bench him? They need like five offensive linemen. They've
got somebody that can open that thing up. But like you said, the offensive line, other issues to go along
with. One last thing on Rudolph. Keep this in mind for those of you that you make sure you click into the players each and every draft, because in week 17, which didn't count, Rudolph went 11 for 117 and a score.
Yeah.
So a significant percentage of his production was in a week that didn't count.
It did not help you throughout the course of your season. And you know what? It's the tight end position. You know how I look at it? And I, you know, we want to get to these quarterbacks quickly. Sure. The tight end position, we get into some leagues with like expert players, good guys, expert industry guys. And a lot of times you'll see like the Gronks, which I'm not a thing. I don't do that. Or the Olsons, you know, guys like that. They'll go off early. What I like to do with my tight ends, if I can catch one a round or two later, like if I see Olsen has that round 3 ADP, if I catch him in the fifth, he's mine.
Yeah.
If I see where Kelsey has a round 4 ADP, if you know, we get into this thing where we're deep into running backs and wide receivers and I catch Kelsey in the seventh, then I'm in on it. Other than that, I'll treat it like a quarterback. He'd be the last person on my roster.
Yeah, that's really the way I approached it this year. It was if I could get Olsen and or Kelsey at, or even Delanie Walker at a legitimate value, then I would take them. But pretty consistently, it didn't happen. Guys were taking those tight ends a round or two early because they were all in or they really liked them. Or you were better off, frankly, waiting for somebody like Jimmy Graham later in the draft, or somebody like Antonio Gates, who, you know, you had the frustration of him missing games, but when he was in, he produced. You could have pieced it together with Antonio Gates and Hunter Henry. If you just owned the San Diego Chargers tight ends this year, you would have been fine.
And a lot of it was leagues, but that was my situation exactly. So that's how I will continue to approach the tight end situation.
Yeah.
Let's play a little matchmaker. Okay. Let's go out, do some wingmaning with Tyrod Taylor's wingman. I think a situation's out there that's good for Tyrod, right? I don't think it's a bad idea to see him someplace new, but I still think the landing spot is Buffalo, and I think it should be Buffalo because he's the best option I think that they're going to be able to have. And not to mention the fact, I think he had a pretty decent season. I wouldn't see why there would even be a riff with the Bills and Tyrod Taylor. I think Tyrod Taylor is Bills through and through.
So I will say that in general, I don't like Tyrod Taylor as much as some, like yourself. I'm not as in on him as some other people are, but the state of the quarterback position in the NFL is such that if you don't have a better option, you better stick with what you have. And this is one of the rare instances that I think a team reversed course during the same offseason, because I think the momentum was very much for Tyrod Taylor being in another city, in another town, playing for another team by the end of the year. And I think they realized as the dust started to settle on their season, they fire the coach.
Yep.
They're bringing new people in. Now they have a defensive coordinator who's their head coach, which is fine if they like the hire. I'm just saying there might not be anybody in the building that can develop a young quarterback, whether it's Tyrod or somebody else. So they start to see and look at their options, and they realize that Tony Romo is probably not going to come there, and they realize that
you're not going to get Jimmy G.
They're not getting Kirk Cousins, and they have no shot to get Garoppolo. So they start looking at what's left on the wall, and Tyrod's probably the best one left. And they're like, you know what? We really like you, Tyrod. We're glad you're healthy, and let's bring you back into the fold.
It's real easy to look good standing next to E.J. Manuel, and that's kind of what they have left. That's not a situation you want to go down, so I agree 100%. Tony Romo, we've heard just about everybody in the mix here. Houston is the hot one situation. We've heard Buffalo. Denver is the name that continues to come up. There's been mild speculation for San Francisco. Kansas City has been a team that's been mentioned. Arizona has been mentioned. I think the best fit is Houston, but I think he wants to go to Arizona.
I still think Carson Palmer's got the job there. I know there were rumors with which were ended up being unsubstantiated with him possibly putting his house on the market. I think Larry Fitzgerald being back in the fold there, I think he and Palmer will give it one more run. I do think this would be Carson Palmer's last season, and if he gets hurt, he'll just kind of walk away from it. I do think it would be a good spot for Tony Romo, but ultimately I think that's probably Carson Palmer's job.
Yeah.
If we're fast-forwarding, what I do think is, you mentioned Houston. I still think that Denver is a possibility. I know they have two young quarterbacks there, and you would have to get into John Elway's head to find out really what he thinks about Simeon. I think he would probably tell you that Lynch is a guy that they're happy to keep developing, but they don't want to go into the 2017 season with a Super Bowl-winning defense and Paxton Lynch trying to figure it out under center. So I do think that is a possibility for Romo. You look at really the other options that are out there. Buffalo, we just kind of squared away the situation there with Tyrod Taylor. San Francisco, is he really going to go there to rebuild? The Jets, the Bears, conceivably a possibility. The Chiefs, I think, unfortunately, well, it depends how you feel about it and what side you're on, but the Eric Berry contract, which I'm happy that he got, ultimately, I think they're not going to be able to make the money work for Romo. Because what are they going to do with Smith? How much do they eat of that contract? They'll get rid of Nick Foles for $7 million, but they're kind of doing that anyway to fit Eric Berry under there. Plus, they still have Dontari Poe sitting out there. I don't think they'll be able to re-sign him. So do they really bring Romo in? I don't like it. Cleveland? No.
No.
Not going to happen. And then the only other team, really, that has a question mark surrounding it is Jacksonville. They're just kind of throwing salvos at Blake Bortles to see, I think, how he'll react to it. I think he still has a chance to compete for the job, but I don't know that Tony would go there either. So it really comes down to Houston and Denver, I think, as the legitimate landing spots, which of course means he'll probably be in another city because there's always some sort of wild card out there.
It's Tony Romo, so you know it's going to be a story before. So
exactly right.
Who's the best backup quarterback in the NFL? Is it Mike Glennon or Jimmy Garoppolo?
That's a really good question, and it's a difficult one to answer, obviously, because you also have veteran guys like Matt Moore, who played pretty admirably there in a 3-week stint in Miami.
Derek Anderson's still out there, right?
Derek Anderson, you do obviously have some younger players out there, too, that are, sort of on the come, and we'll see how they develop, but the Pats are fully entrenched in their stance, right? But that's obviously an intent to drive up the price as much as they can. They have traded this player before, whether it was
Matt Castle
or whether it was Ryan Mallett. They have traded this player before in this exact same spot, or at least upped his value to a point where they could trade him, right? It makes no sense to me for them to keep Garoppolo around. I know you want a Brady insurance policy, but you haven't needed that in 15 years. Yeah, you needed it one time.
The defense is they can't touch Tom Brady.
You made the insurance policy one time, and maybe you don't want that to be Jacoby Brissett, but why not have it be Jacoby Brissett and turn Garoppolo, where, frankly, depending on where he lands, it's a pretty low percentage that he's going to be wildly successful.
Yep.
He might be successful, and he might be a starter. Matt Castle was a starter for a while, and the Chiefs were like, you know what? By the way, they got everybody fired.
Yeah.
Everybody in Kansas City got fired because of that, ultimately. Coaches, executives, everybody.
Bill Belichick pulled a fast one on
him, Mike. Yeah. I mean, the guy's okay, but was he worth all of that to put your job on the line for that? No. And people seem to like Jimmy Garoppolo in that spot, but anybody that sings his praises, I think he's talking just to talk. You saw him for a game and a half.
Yep.
You really studied his EIU tape, and you thought he was going to the second coming of Tom Brady? No way.
There you go right there. Coming up on the other side, we talk with Jeff Stein from My Fantasy League, get into the situation with the My Fantasy League 10s, let you know what the deal with that is. Also, a little bit later on in the program, NFL.com has released their top 200. We'll pick at that a little bit and get back to some more of this quarterback talk. When we continue, Jeff Stein, from My Fantasy League joins us right here on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. Back up and Adam, Fantasy Football Frenzy, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, rocking through the entire 2017 offseason.
taking you all the way up to week 17. I would say week 16, but we're not going to drop you off. Take you all the way up to week 17. Keep it right here locked to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you haven't downloaded the app, do just that. iOS or Android, the Google Play Store, the App Store. The App Store is not in the mall. It is located on your mobile device. Oh, boy. Mike, I want to bring in a good buddy of mine, guest, join the program, talk a little things off the field, outside of the computer screen in the fantasy football industry. My man from Mike Fantasy League is Jeff Stein. Jeff, you're on with the Fantasy Executive and Mike Blewett. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Never too soon to be talking fantasy football. I agree wholeheartedly with you. We just launched our 2017 league last week, and people are already thinking football. It's kind of crazy to me, but those are the folks that put food on my dinner table. So let's fantasy football away.
No doubt, Jeff. And you know what? You mentioned that drafts have already kicked off over at MyFantasyLeague.com. So everybody go in there, get involved, join. Like you said, fantasy football is a 365 hobby. Jeff, normally the first time we talk to you early in the offseason, never really been this early, we'll start talking about a little bit of ADPs and what's going on in the early drafts and stuff like that. Where are the rookies going that's loading into the system? Some of the things with free agency, how that's going to shake out. Unfortunately, we got to talk a little bit different stuff right now. So yesterday, me like millions of fantasy football players all over the country, I immediately went home and I was going to log on to MyFantasyLeague.com. I got 60 credits. I was going to get ready and go sign up right off the rip for 6 MFL 10, start to get my 2017 strategy together, Jeff. And then disaster struck. I hit a roadblock. I was told that I am a New York resident and I will not be allowed at the current time to participate in MFL 10s. MFL 10s, if I'm not mistaken, is the back-to-back Fantasy Sports Trade Association contest of the year?
We won in 2015, not this past year, though. We were a finalist, but did not take home that award.
Okay, but we do have an award-winning service right here. And in some states, not just New York, Jeff, it's not available for us.
Yeah, it's up to 14. And, you know, there's always been the five under the old regulations that have been in place of pretty much as long as I've been in the fantasy industry, 13 years. That's your Arizona, Iowa, Montana, Louisiana, and Washington State. Those have always been the five that had rules on the book saying, you know, we cannot accept the residents from those states. But things are changing quickly, and unfortunately, those changes haven't been good, a lot of them. So we're up to 14 now, so we've added 9 or so in the last year here, and a lot of it has to do with the regulations that are going on at a state-by-state level in regards to a lot of the problems that we saw with the daily fantasy sports industry that happened, you know, a year and a half, let's put it in the middle there. So these states have come in, And they haven't really, they think the fantasy industry is the back-to-back commercials that you've seen a year and a half ago. They think the fantasy industry is full of billion-dollar companies that they read about in the Wall Street Journal and Forbes and all that. And it's really not. As I said, I've been doing this for 13 years now, and the majority of the industry is small. The majority of the industry is, in my fantasy league, is in the upper echelon of the industry, but we are a small company. So I think all these commercials, everything, the fantasy industry, once it got the attention of lawmakers, the lawmakers haven't taken the time to really say, oh, this is what the fantasy industry is. They just assume that, you know, we're lighting $100 bills on fire to light our cigars up, which is not the case. And I think anyone that's ever attended an FSBA conference knows that, you know, while there's new companies, there's old companies, there's established companies, but at the end of the day, there's only a couple big-time companies in this industry. In my fantasy league, as an independent company, we're not very large.
Yeah, Jeff, this is Mike Blewett, and I think you're right. I think you phrased that properly in so far as explaining what really the difference in what the backbone of the fantasy industry is. Granted, you have a couple of monstrous companies that received a lot of financial backing on the DFS front, but frankly, MFL 10s, And those types of contests were ways for people like myself and Corey that are industry insiders, I put that in quotes, and frankly, a lot of other people that just like to play fantasy to do their standard research for the year. Granted, there was a little bit of financial incentive tied to it, but nobody was trying to win it big. It's a way for us to do off-season research, see how the drafts are progressing throughout the year, and so be it if there was a financial incentive at the end of the year. For me, it's the cost of doing business. And a way to frankly support the industry and back a site that I use on a regular basis. I'm sitting here, regardless of whether or not you're on the show, Omaha and My Fantasy League, trying to pour through stats and prep for the show. I think it's a really important part of what you do, and it's why I use it. So, you know, it's an unfortunate situation that you find yourself in, but, you know, without getting into the legal ramifications, because there's the, obviously there's some things that you're going to have to battle, but what is your approach moving forward? How do you What are you going to try to do to best explain how you differentiate yourself within the industry?
Yeah, and just so people know, we aren't technically banned in New York. It's us choosing not to do business in New York based on the laws that are put into place. You know, we're still trying to figure out, as a small business, does it make sense for us to operate in New York? My Fantasy League is a five-man operation, and just New York alone is one of 50 states. We don't, you know, as a five-person operation, it's tough for us to say, okay, we're going to be able to sit down and put 50 different sets of laws into place for our product, for our MFL 10s product. And, you know, while the 10s are successful financially, you know, they're profitable financially, and, you know, we make a good chunk of change off of them. But, I mean, it's just, at the end of the day, we'd have to do a heck of a lot better business to even come close to being able to meet what these 50 states are going to end up asking for. And, you know, there's been some regulations and some laws put into place that have been very, very favorable for the small businesses for the season-long fantasy sports. And then there's some like, you know, Indiana, Virginia. They want $50,000 just to operate within their states. And I can tell you this right now, we didn't take in $50,000 for entries from Indiana and Virginia times five probably last year. So it just doesn't make any financial sense. But what these lawmakers see is the article in the Wall Street Journal, the articles in Forbes, all these commercials, and they say, oh, the fantasy industry, here's an industry flush with money that where we can get a little more money into our hands. And whether that money in their hands is a lot of these states are creating positions for fantasy sports, a fantasy sport regulator per se. So they got to pay someone to, you know, to follow all these rules, to make sure these rules are being followed by the company. So it's really unfortunate. The season long side of fantasy, the small business side of fantasy, we're trying. We do have the Small Business Fantasy Sports Trade Association has done wonderful work. They have a lobbyist that goes in, but at the end of the day, we're competing with some big money, and basically these laws are what a lot of the larger companies want. And I don't think they're doing it on purpose to freeze out their competitors, but I think they're doing it on purpose to get stuff pushed through as fast as possible. And a lot of times, as fast as possible isn't favorable to, you know, the majority of the industry.
You know, Jeff, it's funny you mentioned that, you know, doing these shows for a while and been kind of following this story the past 2 years since it broke and stuff like that, and you know, and reading about it and stuff like that. It seems like when a lot of these things were going on, you know, different leaders and stuff for the fantasy industry said, well, you know, it's not going to affect the season-long game. This isn't going to affect the Daily Fantasy Sports Company. The season-long game will be protected. Then maybe towards the end of last year, a year and a half ago, it started to be like, well, you know, let's get something on the books, then we'll go back through and change it. But how easy, first of all, it seems like that's not the case at all, where it did affect our season-long fantasy sports, which we love dearly, you know what I'm saying? They've been around forever. The new kids on the block, okay, it may seem like they have came in, and we have some kind of, you know, conflict here when it comes to gameplay and separation of the two games. But when you look at what the legislators in different states did, how much of this is really a financial thing, and how much is more of a infrastructure where companies like a My Fantasy League that's been around for years and years and years can't just up and change that quickly?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to answer that. You know, some of it, you know, we just had the Fantasy Aces case where, you know, they were legal in some of these states where you were supposed to, I believe they had a temporary license in New York, which required a separate account for all player funds. Well, guess what? They spent their player funds. That's a well-known story. That's, you know, where you can search the internet for that. So at the end of the day, how did these regulations help there? they didn't. And of course, there's been some reaction to this in the state of New York with looking at a whole bunch of new type of rules they're looking to put in place. But I just think, you know, and without getting too political here, I just think getting government involved in something it doesn't really have much of a clue about is not a good idea. It's not going to work out for those that are a part of this industry. You know, I don't think they mean any harm, but I mean, really, when you look at your typical lawmaker, how many of them do you think are sitting down on Sunday and playing fantasy football? Not a lot of them. So they basically don't know much about this industry. They don't know how it works. And, you know, as someone in the industry, it's very frustrating that laws are being written by people that don't know what's really going on. But at the end of the day, they want to get consumer protections in place. You can't blame them there. But, so it's kind of a catch-22, you know what I'm saying? I can see why they want to get these laws in place, but at the same time, they really don't have much of a clue about what they're putting the laws in place for and the industry that it's affecting.
Jeff, where can people go in order to kind of support you guys as you move forward through this fight? Where can they best find information as to where they can and maybe can't play at the moment? Obviously, I'd like people to support your service and maybe just stay up to date on the latest with MFL 10s and My Fantasy League in general.
Yeah, we're working on some good content stuff for that we'll be releasing. If you just want to follow us at My Fantasy League on Twitter, or myself, Jeffrey Stein on Twitter, G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y, just ask. I'm always around. I'm always on the Twitter account. If you want to know how to help, please ask. We're big fans of the previously mentioned Small Business Fantasy Sports Trade Association. They're doing good work to try to help the small season-long companies. It's there's movement every day. Every day it seems like there's a new state with proposals out there. It's definitely a fluid issue, and unfortunately for us, I think it's only going to get more and more complicated as more and more states put stuff on the books.
Talking with Jeff Stein of MyFantasyLeague.com. Jeff, got one more for you before I let you go. Know you got a lot of stuff to do and handle and take care of. Listen, we are talking in February, early March. Obviously, that's not the same urgency that we'll have when we have these conversations in July and August. But, you know, to the best of your knowledge, do you think we got a pretty good chance to get a good amount of people playing My Fantasy League 10s coming into the 2017 season?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Even though we've lost some states, we've grown these by quite a percentage year over year over year. I believe this is year four, year five that we've done it. And every year, I mean, the percentage is crazy. So I don't anticipate any less volume. I don't anticipate any less traffic. I think people are gung-ho about these. People are crazy. They were knocking down the doors, trying to get to them before we released them on Monday. So it's just been it's been incredible to watch. And I guess that's one of the frustrating parts is, you know, watching something that you've done take off right before your very eyes and do well and see people talking about them on the radio, see people talking about them all over Twitter, all over Facebook, all over the fantasy content site. And I mean, it's wonderful for the content industry too, if you look at it. I mean, people are writing about fantasy football in February. They're talking fantasy football in February. So these MFL 10s are great for the entire industry. So when you hear us saying, well, this hurts us, this hurts the entire industry, this hurts the content people, because, you know, they're going to have less people that can play fantasy football in February. They're going to have less people that can that are interested in purchasing their content in February. So this is a wave that's going to sweep over the entire industry. It's just not season-long providers that are feeling this. Everyone's going to feel this eventually. And I guess back to my point is, it's been fun watching these take off, and it's kind of sad to see, you know, say, oh, well, we're going to lose New York, which was our biggest state. We had the most entries come from the state of New York. But just by natural growth that we've seen alone on these, I don't see any reason we can't do what we did last year, and I still anticipate small growth.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff, and hope to see you back in New York before the start of the 2017 season, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
When we return on the program, get ready to wrap things up. I tell you what, Mike, the hour just sometimes goes too fast. look at some quarterbacks, continue a little bit on that stuff. And then I got a couple players. NFL.com released their early 2017 top 200. I got some disagreements with some of these numbers, and I want to see what you think about it right here as we continue on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. Final segment of the program. I want you, thanks for rocking with us. Make sure you catch us each and every Wednesday, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. With replays throughout the rest of the week and the weekend, of course, right here on the network this weekend, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Got NFL Combine coverage. My guy Mike Blewett, hope to have you a part of that, along with Joe Lissy and Rich C. I'm gonna call him Rich C because I don't want to butcher the last name.
I had to pronounce it all during football season, so it's Sirmanella.
Rich Sirmanella. There you go, right there. And of course, we'll be taking care of that, getting you ready for the 2017 NFL Combine, introducing you to the fantasy football stars of tomorrow. Mike, let's talk about some of the day. NFL.com released their early top 200. And they have three players inside their top 10 that I disagree with.
Okay. I'm going to guess you disagreed with LeSean McCoy. You disagreed with DeMarco Murray. And you disagreed with, I don't know, all those other ones look pretty good to me. Did you disagree with Jordan Howard?
I disagree with LeSean McCoy. I disagree with DeMarco Murray. I disagree with Julio Jones. And I also disagree with Jordan Howard, but not as much. And you're looking, you made a face just now when I said I disagree with Julio Jones. Listen, it's probably not going to happen. This is probably me taking a stance against Julio Jones, and the industry is probably not going to bite. I want Julio as a WR2 this year. I just think it's too many situations where Julio Jones has been taken out of games. I think it's too many situations with that foot that's going on. I don't want him. I understand the greatness. I understand the pound for pound talent. But Mike, I just don't want him as my wide receiver one in 2017.
I'll take him off your hands. So I can appreciate what your concern. And I did say throughout the year, and even at the beginning of last year, that I think long term you have to be concerned about Julio with a foot injury. We've seen other players that have gone through that type of stuff, and it's something that always tends to linger. We've seen Antonio Gates with chronic foot problems. We've seen some other players. Deion Sanders basically retired because of foot issues. So I understand that concern, but Julio, for me, I don't have concerns because he's such a significant part of that offense. And you know, honestly, if you look at it statistically, only 83 catches, only 6 touchdowns, and that was with him missing time. I mean, he put up 1,400 yards. To me, he's the best receiver in the league, and I'm a Steelers fan.
There you go, right there. So that kind of states your case. Maybe I'll get involved in some auctions. I just don't want him as a one. I just think, I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about it, put it like that.
I don't have a great feeling about the Falcons, but I still like their offense. I don't think they're ever going to recover from what happened in early February. I just think that I think you'll eventually see this regime in Atlanta leave town without having won a Super Bowl, sadly.
Yeah, well, I agree, because they were on the cusp, and I don't know how that's going to work out for them. Now, I'm taking those three guys out of my top 10, Jones, Murray, and McCoy. With Murray, I don't think it happens again. McCoy, I think a lot of the success was Anthony Lynn and the ground and pound. Two guys I'm putting inside that top 10 this season, Mike, T.Y. Hilton and Devonta Freeman. I think Devonta Freeman is the whole show. I like the way the kid runs, not to mention the fact you got a guy coming in as offensive coordinator and Sharkeys and that wants to run the football. And T.Y. Hilton, anytime, first of all, he's phenomenal, period. But this is a guy who week after week after week did not practice the whole week, came out there on Sunday, and still showed up and showed out.
Yeah, listen, you can definitely make an argument for a few of those guys. I like your call on Freeman in particular. Look, Melvin Gordon basically missed time at the end of the year, and he still ended up with tremendous stats, just shy of 1,000 yards. He's ranked at number 11. I think you can see him creep up. I tend to agree with you in general on LeSean McCoy and DeMarco Murray. There's some stats that I've been pouring through early that indicate that DeMarco Murray and a couple of other running backs are likely to see a pretty significant regression from what they did in 2016. And I think DeMarco Murray could be one of those players. When you have Derrick Henry there, it makes sense that they go to a little bit more of a timeshare than they did in 2016.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate you rocking with me today, bro.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
it. This goes by too fast.
Yeah, we could have done 3 hours on this.
I know. I'm going to let Cardano know that we got to get some more time doing this. You know what I'm saying? Because we could have took him right up to lineup lock. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Something like that. But lineup lock is important because, you know, DFS tonight and stuff like that. You know, yeah. So.
Benny's got the spotlight. We got to give him his, give him a shine. For
you know, we can't do it without Benny and Tony. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
They run the whole ship. Fantasy Football Frenzy, thanks for rocking with us. We are going to take you 365, 24/7 through the hobby of fantasy football right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Special NFL Combine coverage coming up. Make sure you download that app and get involved. Good looking out. Fantasy Exec out.